Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and at the hour of our
death. I don't want to disappoint you, but my first talk is actually on the importance of silence. Not just, for the retreat,
but even different times throughout our daily lives, really. Granted, most people think of silence as being a virtue just for religious to practice. But indeed, religious will be held more accountable for their practice of silence or lack thereof. But silence is a great means of acquiring a spirit of prayer and disposing the soul to converse continually with God. God's not going to be talking to us if we're listening to rock music or the TV or the computer. Seems like you can't go anywhere without them playing music. And like in the stores years ago, it was like elevator music almost. At least today, it's just noise pollution. So we should all desire to want to dispose our soul to converse continually with God. And that's why we need silence. We rarely find a spiritual soul that speaks continuously. All souls of prayer are lovers of silence. I think you need to bolt this thing down, at least for me. That's why it's called the guardian of innocence, the shield against temptations, the fountain of prayer. Because by silence, devotion is preserved. And I'm sure you've experienced this in some parish churches. You go there, you get there early for Mass to recollect yourself, to place yourself in the presence of God, and it sounds like a school cafeteria. It's just very distracting. I was talking to someone the other day, and it says, whenever they go to the church, they go to the cry room. They're always in the cry room when they're at church, because it's the quietest place in the church. They don't have any children, but they're always in the cry room. Or after Mass, you try to give a thanksgiving, and it's just, you can't do it. So, by silence, devotion's preserved. It's good thoughts spring up. St. Bernard says, silence and the absence of noise in a certain manner force the soul to think of God and eternal goods. And it's sad. I met a former MIM member. She avoided retreats like the plague because they were silent. And it forced herself to look at herself, and she didn't want to do that. It's not pretty. We don't want to examine our conscience. People don't want to go to confession. Who wants to remember our bad choices? But, the saints, they would flee to the mountains, to caves, to deserts, just to get away from the noise, to find silence. And some of them observe silence for, 30, 40 years or more. One Saint John the Silent, he was surnamed, gave up his bishopric to become a monk and observe silence for 47 years before his death. And all the saints, you know, even those who were not hermits were lovers of silence. They realized how great the blessings that silence brings to the soul. The prophet Isaiah says that silence shall cultivate justice in the soul. For on the one hand, it saves us from many sins by destroying the roots of arguments. There's never an argument where there's silence. There's never detraction or resentment or curiosity that, these lead to gossip. On the other hand, the silence, it makes us acquire many virtues, just those virtues of not committing those sins. If we practice humility, when we let others do all the talking, that's a way to grow in that to humility, that virtue. It's a great mortification not to, by not yielding to an inclination or a desire, to tell a certain antidote or use some witty expression suggested by the conversation. We practice heroic meekness by remaining silent when we are unjustly criticized or offended. But on the other hand, immense evils flow from speaking too much. In the first place, devotion is preserved by silence, so it is lost by too much talking. However recollected the soul may be or may have been in prayer, if it afterwards indulges in long conversations, it will find the mind distracted and dissipated, as if it had not prayed at all. If afterwards it indulges in that conversation, Holy Spirit tells us in the book of Proverbs that in speaking too much, we shall not fail to commit some fault. While they speak and prolong conversation without necessity, certain people think that they're not guilty of any defect. But if they carefully examine themselves, they'll find some fault, against modesty, detraction, curiosity, or at least just superfluous words. St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi used to say that a religious should speak only through necessity, but actually, everyone really should consider this advice. Jesus himself told us in the Gospel of Matthew, "But I say to you that every idle word that men speak, they shall account for it in the day of judgment." St. James talks about the tongue in his epistle. He says it's a world of iniquity. For as a learned author remarks, you know, the greater number of sins arise from speaking or listening to others. You know, I have to admit that a lot of what we'll be saying is, from this point forward, is really intended for religious. But you could very well benefit for, since you are secular, religious, living in the world, you know. So you can apply it and put it into practice in your own life. St. Alphonsus de Liguori wrote, you know, "How many nuns shall we see condemned on the day of judgment on account of having had little regard for silence?" And what is most to be deplored is that the religious that disputes in her mind by excessive contact with creatures and by speaking too much will never be able to avoid, you know, defects. So it goes back to just what we were saying earlier about avoiding all the unnecessary talk about others in gossiping. And St. Ignatius Loyola said, "If you want to know if there is fervor in a convent, all you have to do is see if silence is observed or not." Even our Lord speaks about silence to St. Faustina in her diary, and how important it is. You know, since we're getting a late start, I may have to omit some of this, since a lot of it is for religious, but it's also interesting. Like at a lot of holy founders of religious orders that have prescribed in their constitutions about the necessity of silence to their religious, because they just knew how important its observance is for fervor and that spirit of devotion. St. Basil insists on it in his rule for nuns, not once, but, you know, frequently. St. Benedict commanded his monks to observe continual silence, you know, just necessary speaking, not unnecessary speaking. And we could all be a lot more productive if we didn't talk so much, you know. That's ora et labora. That's what his rule was. So experience shows that monastery where silence is observed, discipline is maintained, and where silence is neglected, little fervor is found. So, you know, few religious become saints because few love silence. In many monasteries, the rule of silence is prescribed by written rules, and it's strongly recommended. But some of the religious do not seem to know what silence is. This was a case in the St. Margaret of Castello. At one time in her life, she joined an order of nuns, and they weren't observing silence, and she wanted to observe the rule as best she could. And all the nuns said, oh, she's not being, you know, they interpreted her as not being very friendly and avoiding conversation, and it's just not one of the gang. And so the Mother Superior said, well, you know, if you don't conform, you'll have to leave. So she had to leave just because they weren't observing their, she wanted to live the rule and they didn't. So it's just mediocrity. You know, a lot of people are happy with their mediocre spirituality. They don't want to put forth too much effort. It's too uncomfortable. You know, going back to the homily about that mortification and death to self, that can get old. You know, and once you start, it's like you get these thoughts, and it's well, maybe I could give this up because you're making this sacrifice and that sacrifice. And then it just seems to never stop. And it's like the temptation is just to say enough. But we can't, we can never give in. Because we know God loves a generous giver. So that's why sometimes you're tempted to think, well, is that something I'm coming up with? Or is that from God? Well, St. Paul says, any good that we do is from God. The only thing that's from us is our sins. So, and silence is one of those little mortifications that is very neglected these days. So just during these precious few days that you have of retreat, to observe silence, endeavor to practice it as much as possible if you wish to keep yourself recollected with God. People say, oh, wouldn't it be nice if God told you what to do? Or, well, how can he get a word in edgewise if there's constant noise? God speaks to us in silence. So, if you wish to keep yourself recollected and free from distractions, observe silence. And if you cannot do it for your own benefit, the love of God, the supernatural charity, at least try for the sake of your fellow retreatants. And it's going to be the hardest for me because it's been years since I've seen you, and I'd love to sit down at a meal and carry on a conversation. But we'll let Bishop Sheen do the talking during the meals. So it's a sacrifice. So I have to practice what I preach, as hard as it may be. Although I'm technically not on retreat, but for your sake, I'll try not to disturb your silence. So, so St. John Chrysostom would say, you know, why should we speak when it is more useful, you know, to be silent? I mean, the only time we should speak is if it's going to be more useful. They say silence is golden, you know, except when it's yellow. Sometimes we remain silent when we shouldn't remain silent. If the truth is being attacked, we have to speak. Because if the truth is being attacked, Christ is being attacked. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, the truth just isn't something, someone. So there are times that we do have to speak. So St. John Chrysostom would say, either remain silent or say what is more profitable than silence. So there can be rapid progress in divine love through the practice of silence. Before speaking, you know, we should consider whether what we intend to say could injure charity or modesty or someone's character. And, you know, even if it's true, it doesn't need to be said. That's called detraction. You know, just, you don't have to broadcast people's sins. St. Paul says, only the good things people need to hear, things that are going to help them. Like I said earlier, you know, we need to be that light, a source of hope and encouragement to others. Not building up the kingdom, not tearing people down. You know, our sins tear at the fabric of the mystical body of Christ. And people say, I'm not hurting anyone. Yes, there are people dying in wars on the other side of the planet because of our detraction, our sins. Our Lady of Fatima said, war is a punishment for sin. So, and we're all sinners, so we do hurt others. You know, examine the motive that impels your speech. For, you know, it sometimes happens that what a person says is good, but their intentions may be bad. They speak either to appear spiritual, or, you know, to acquire a reputation, you know, for a talent to impress others. They examine to whom we speak. Whether, is it someone in authority? Or, you know, either ecclesiastical or civil, or an employee or employer, to companions, or, you know, to inferiors. Also whether it's if it's in the presence of others who may be scandalized, you know, by what we say. But I think if someone's going to be scandalized, but we say we shouldn't say it. Sometimes you talk about important matters, or if there's something that needs to be corrected and that's going on, well, you know, you don't need to let others hear that conversation. We just must never forget, you know, the importance of our good example. And that's why we have to be those lights shining in the darkness. You know, recreation is needed. It's always a proper time for relaxation. But, you know, we can endeavor as often as possible to speak of something that has a reference to God. You know, let us speak of the Lord Jesus, St. Ambrose says, who has an ardent love for another, is always speaking about them. They who speak little of Jesus show that they have but little love for Jesus. On the other hand, you know, if it happens that good people, after speaking on divine love, feel more fervor than after mental prayer, they have to examine their devotion, and just because, you know, our prayer, our devotions, they're all means to an end. They're not an end in themselves. At the conversation of the servants of God, says St. Teresa of Jesus, Jesus is always present. And concerning this, Father Gisolfo of the Congregation of Pious Workers relates a memorable example in the life of the Venerable Father Anthony de Colelas. He says that Father Constantine Rossi, the master of novices, saw one day two of his young disciples conversing together, and with them a resplendent young man. And the master of novices was surprised that these two novices, whom he regarded as most exemplary, should speak to a stranger, you know, without permission. He therefore asked, you know, who was the young man whom he had seen conversing with them? And I said, there wasn't anyone else conversing with them. And afterwards he learned that they were speaking of Jesus Christ, and he understood that the person whom he saw in their company was their Savior. So except for in the hours of recreation and other extraordinary occasions, you know, such as attending the sick, or in consoling someone in tribulation, it's always better to be silent. I mean, you're not monks and you haven't taken a vow of silence or anything, but we'd be amazed at how many unnecessary things we say throughout the day. A religious in the order of St. Teresa said that it's better to speak with God than to speak of God. But when obedience or charity obliges you to speak or to have contact with others, you must always endeavor to find some quiet time. So just let us remember that the time given us is not to be spent unprofitably, you know, with useless chatter. It's to be employed for God, and it's to be used for acquiring merits for eternity, and we'll be talking about that in our next conference. So, as hard as it may be, we'll try to do our best to have a silent retreat and have that time to reflect, you know, to come up with a battle plan, because we are all at war, whether we want to be or not. You notice the theme of the retreat, spiritual weapons for spiritual warfare, and silence is one of those weapons, you know. So let us ask Our Lady to help us be silent so that we can reflect on our battle plan for reentering the battleground. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Mother of the Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.